All right. Good morning. Good morning, you beloved community of God. So grateful for your presence today, and may God's richest blessings of presence be upon all of you today as we meet together. So grateful for you that you're here. Those of you who are long-timers, welcome back. You who are first-timers, welcome back. Those of you who haven't been back in a long time, welcome back. And a special welcome to those of you online. Your presence on Facebook with us this morning is quite valuable. So thank you for joining us that way. Well, this morning we have all sorts of songs and prayers and scripture readings and sermon. We'll share a meal at the table, both the Lord's table and a family meal after service today. I hope all that we do today, all that we say in here, is quite an encouragement to you. Take a couple minutes and fill out some of these cards, please. The blue ones to let us know that you are indeed here. If you're online, check in. Let us know that you're watching as well. Those yellow ones also for some encouragement to send out to some folks in this congregation. The pink ones if you have any prayer requests or celebrations that you want to share with our shepherding team. Those can go in the offering tray a little bit later today. Well, for our call to worship this morning, would you stand, please? Would you receive this from Psalm 119 after I light our Christ candle, which reminds us, of course, that Christ is indeed with us. Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with their whole heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Let's sing in song together.
This is the season for a new anointing. This is the season for a fresh outpouring, that the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine as we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. In the beginning God created, and for his pleasure all creation sings. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory, now arise and shine. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory, now arise and shine as we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth. King of glory, fill the earth. King of glory, fill the earth. As we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Over all the earth, you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you'd reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? One heart, one spirit, one voice to raise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Okay. I want to pray. First of all, I want to give thanks to God for waking us up this morning and laying us down last night. You know, I told my therapist this week, life is a business. When you wake us up, it's a business. We have a business to praise God every day. So let's give the doctors, the therapists, and everybody thanks, you know, for praising God, for waking up and taking care of us. So I'm not ashamed to say I'm dealing with depression. I was studying this last night, and I say, okay, Pastor Steve is preaching on hospitality. This whole church welcomed me with open on hospitality. So I want to thank Miss Martha and the Watson family. I want to thank Jill family. I want to thank the Vaughn family. I want to thank all of y'all. But most of all, I want to thank the Sargent family. Because when I came and talked and spoke to Pastor Steve one-on-one, he good. I'm serious, he's good. He's a therapist licensed too. He just ain't telling nobody, you know. You know, he must be picking it up from Pastor Chelsea.
That's right.
You know, because, you know, he's, you know. But the point I'm getting to is trust God first, family second. And I was telling my therapist, I was singing this song, you know, and we say glory, glory, you know, and angel of the Lord, you know. And so she said, well, I want your goals to be written down. I say, I don't have no goals no more. I gave it up. And she said, now you have something. So God lit a fire in me. He said, tell this story. When your grandmother became, you know, ill, he said, tell her how much you ran in the house when you got saved and say, grandmother, you know, every Sunday I call her. I say, mother, guess what I learned today? Guess what I learned today? So let's pray for all the grandmothers, for all the parents, for everybody. Father God, we come boldly before you in front of your throne. We lift you up, Father God. Father God, the teaching on hospitality that Pastor Steve gonna teach today, Father God, let them turn it out. Father God, let them listen to it on Facebook or anywhere. Father God, I know that you are the key to victory. You are the key to salvation. Father God, you are our loved one. You're the author and finisher of our faith. And let's bless the kids, Father God, for school, for everything, because they are our future. So, Father God, as I leave and pray today and study, read my Bible, Father God, each and every one of us are to take a little message wherever they go this week to a stranger, whatever. And Father God, and just feeding that little message. Because one word of your word, Father God, is hope, favor, and faith. And Father God, I step out in faith. So let everybody in this congregation see somebody and step out in faith. I ran into Larry today, this morning. He introduced me to a man of his. I have a friend named Miller. I introduced him to some of the people who came to church today. So, Father God, that's what it's all about, helping others. Step out in faith. And so, Father God, this church welcome hospitality. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
As your children gather in peace, all the angels sing in heaven. In your temple, all that I seek is to glimpse your holy presence. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. All the angels exalt you on high, what a kingdom to depart. But you left your throne in the sky just to live inside my heart. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. All the heavens heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me? I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee.
Today's reading from the Gospel according to Luke 24, verse 13 through 32. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women in our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?"
Most of Luke's gospel today. Nice lengthy reading there. Caleb, thanks for leading us so energetically in our singing today. And Jesse, as always, thank you for praying. I appreciate that. And I'll let you know and let everybody else know that most of the good things I've learned in life have indeed come from Chelsea. So the counseling side of me, that is no surprise. So thanks for saying that. Our young friends are already back at the table. They saw the slides, and we're so glad that you're here for Roots today, so thanks for joining us. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly we do seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Would you also give us eyes to see and ears to hear? For it's because of Christ we pray. Amen. Emmaus, according to Luke, was 7 miles from Jerusalem. If you estimate it taking about half an hour to walk 1 mile, check me on my math, I believe that 7 miles times 30 minutes equals 3.5 hours. Did I get that correct? Good. That's how long it took Cleopas and his companion, perhaps his wife, to get back home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. Ironically, 3.5 hours is also the amount of time I plan to preach today. I hope that's okay with you. I would not do that to you. I would not do that to myself, so no worries about that. Not with that wonderful smell wafting into our nostrils today. I know that we have 8 or 9 stews or chilies or soups that many of you brought. I provided a vegan black bean soup. I made it last night, and it's been simmering today. I have to keep it right next to me so I can stir it occasionally. Others of you brought food as well. You brought some dishes to share. So those of you who brought something, I'd like to hear, what can we anticipate having? Martha, you brought something. What did you bring? Okay, turkey chili and cauliflower soup, and the rest of that, I cannot remember, but it sounds great. And potato soup, thank you. All right, others of you I know. All right, Miss Beverly, what did you make? Did you provide something? A cheese soup, excellent. All right, Carol, yes? Excellent, we need that, thank you. Crackers would go great with mine. All right, I know Dick and Bonnie, what did y'all bring? Chili. Brought chili, excellent, thank you. Brian, you and Dee? Beef and lentil stew, excellent. Paul, I know you brought something. What did you bring today? Vegetables and a salad, excellent, excellent. Who else am I missing? Caleb, you and your family, what do you provide? Green chili? Black bean chili, oh my goodness, it's a showdown. The chili or the soup, you can only choose one. Did I miss anybody who provided something? Well, thanks for bringing those, I appreciate that. We're gonna eat well, and we're gonna eat well after classes this morning, so when we dismiss here, do go to your classes, your breakout groups, and then we'll meet back here sometime around noon in the lobby. More details on that in a little bit. This meal will serve as the official conclusion to this sermon series that we've been centering around for the past month, though of course, there is no conclusion on any of this stuff. We are always learning, we're always seeking, we're always growing. We are not an arrived people, we are an on-the-way community. This series we have called No One is a Stranger Here, Hospitality as Witness. From the beginning, we have said that hospitality at its core is treating outsiders like insiders. It's extending the privileges of community to people who do not have any standing in that community. Together, in just a few short weeks, we have built a hospitable house. Matthew 25 gave us a foundation. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the hungry, the thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, incarcerated, you did that for me. Leviticus 19 gave us a framework. When strangers live among you, do not oppress them. They must be treated as a full citizen. Love them as yourself, because you were once strangers in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Luke 14 gave us a roof over our heads. Go quickly to the streets and the alleys. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Sir, what you've ordered has been done, and there's still room. Then go to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full. This is a good house. It's a strong house that we have built. Today, though, the house becomes a home. I told Chelsea this past Monday that I cannot ever remember preaching the Emmaus story. But then on Tuesday, I came across emails from last year that Andrea Engel and I shared with each other about the Emmaus sermon I preached on April 25th, 2022. Not even 10 months ago, I did not remember that. I really do love the Emmaus story, regardless if I forget my own words on it. So it's probably good for me to return to Emmaus, given all the grace and nourishment found there. It's good for us to return to it too, and as we look to close out our series, I would like us to pay special attention to the story through the lens of hospitality. You know the story, you just heard it, what Jeff said, or you knew it already. It's Easter evening. Cleopas and his partner are walking and talking about the horrendous crucifixion events that unfolded before their very eyes that morning or a couple days ago. When Jesus shows up and steps into stride with them, you have to wonder how good those eyes really are since they don't recognize him. What are y'all talking about? The two persons, who are gravely disappointed and in a miserable state, gape open-mouthed at the stranger. Surely you are kidding. What's happened? About Jesus and our hope about him, and he died, and now there are rumors spreading that he didn't. Oh, you thick-headed, slow-hearted people, says the unfamiliar one. Which might have been offensive to some, but instead to them it's like someone has pulled the shades back on a darkened room in order to let a bit of light in. The stranger on the road then opens the scriptures to them without opening a Bible and says, the Christ was always going to have to suffer, but then glory. No one knows for sure how many of those 3.5 hours he walks with them, but Emmaus is close now. The 7 miles have flown by in the company of the outsider. By the time Cleopas and his companion reach their humble abode and slide the key into the front door, something has changed in them, and they can sense it. They've got a decision to make. What now? They could say, well, here we are. Thanks for the good chat. Shake the stranger's hand, wish him well. Inside the house, the two go, lock the door behind them, flip on the lights, open the fridge, pop the lid to the leftovers. Yep, still good. And sit down for a late supper. That was interesting today, wasn't it? One person reminisces to the other. Yeah, it was, responds the second. But all they really have to chew on are the few leftovers of a nice story. Perhaps a few new facts, a couple of fresh ideas. They could have done that, free to continue on without the stranger, and none of us would have decried them in the least. But something else happens, doesn't it? As they approach the village to which they are going, Jesus acts as if he is going further. I love that Jesus feigns interest. Nah, I'm good. I really got to keep moving. Well, okay, if you insist. Beyond a bit of humor, which shows Jesus' humanity, I think it also shows that Jesus wants to be invited in. He wants the invitation. He wants the welcome, the offer to come inside. He will never, ever barge his way through the door. He'll never plead for food or beg for a couch to sleep on. If he is not welcomed, he'll move on and find somewhere else that he is. Not this time, however, because the two urge him strongly, stay with us. It's getting dark outside. So he goes in to stay with them. They do what you do when you have a guest. Sit at a table, share a meal, eat. They welcome him as their visitor. They pull up an extra chair. They provide hospitality to a stranger. And when communion is experienced in person, when that bread is broken, their eyes, they're opened. And they recognize the stranger as Jesus himself. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to recover the sight of the blind, Jesus once famously preached. And here in a little Israeli town called Emmaus, scales flutter to the ground, a blindfold falls off, and nothing is ever the same again. Were not our hearts burning when he spoke with us, they declare. With stay with us, our house of hospitality becomes a home. No longer is hospitality a blueprint, a theory, a Bible story, an organization. Stay with us is where the hospitality of the hands matches the condition of the soul. In this home, furniture is brought in and arranged. Pictures are hung on the walls and placed on nightstands. The kitchen table is angled this way and that. Yes, right there, that's where it should go. And of course, soup is simmering on the stove or in the crock pot. The hospitality found in this Emmaus story underlines the promise of Jesus' presence in meals that are tabled and shared, especially when strangers are involved. Food then becomes our common language, doesn't it? A meal together changes those who eat it. For persons without scales and with blindfolds removed, when you break the bread, you know what that means. It means that it's time to eat and that God is very near. Thus, a house becomes a home. A church becomes a family. A fed people become the body of Christ. Stay with us indicates a desire for a relationship, not just a one-off exchange. Unless he is invited in, the house will stay a house, and Jesus will forever be the interesting guy they once had a lively conversation with and perhaps even sing a few songs about, but still a stranger. And nothing in their life would really have changed at all. Here, though, these journeying friends invite and urge, please, be our guest. Stay with us. Because in the stranger, they sense a value that they cannot yet fully name. They offer him a hospitality of safe space with enough food and drink. And the house transforms into a home where sorrows and disappointments end, but we had hoped can be brought in, as well as where the joys and celebrations of a heart come fully alive. This is what they invite the stranger into. As a result, the two don't become one, but the two miraculously become three with the risen Jesus, who is the stranger, somehow becoming the very center of it all. At the table, the one who was welcomed now becomes the welcomer. The guest becomes the host. The stranger becomes the one who is known. If there is anything during this hospitality series that we have learned, if I have said anything worthwhile, then hopefully it is this, that God is fully present in the practice of hospitality. In your practice of hospitality, whatever that looks like for you, your relationship with God is enriched and deepened, since God is the other, since God is the stranger. And in your practice of hospitality, whatever that looks like for you, you are bearing witness to the world God's ongoing, right now, redemptive and restorative movements. Because God is fully present in the practice of hospitality, we discover in hospitality life. Both for others, by welcoming the stranger as an insider, and for ourselves, because we too are mysteriously nourished and sustained and blessed. What a gift we have been given, church. What a gift we've been given. I want to end today's sermon by talking about our church. I want to talk about hospitality in our context. And specifically, I want to talk about an opportunity to practice hospitality to strangers that is now before us. About a year and a half ago, I sat in this very room, as I often do, dreaming, doodling, and praying about the future. I have long wanted our church building to be used for more than it has been in recent times. We've got a lot of space, more than we currently need. I've wanted to be better stewards of what's been given to us. And I know we're a small church, we have things going on like Reach to Teach and community meetings sometimes, and Art Club uses this building once a month, and the pandemic messed a lot of things up. I get that. And still, we have a lot of space that is not being used. A year and a half ago, I started thinking about this man, Antonio Zapata, who does all our maintenance and building upkeep. Salt of the earth, light of the world kind of guy. I love Antonio, and I don't want to imagine being a church without him. How many of you, by a show of hands, has Antonio assisted in one way or another? Yep. Me too, numerous times. Then I started thinking about when my house flooded the second time in 2017, the story I told you in detail two Sundays ago. I mentioned briefly about how 5 to 6 persons from Antonio's church came to help gut my house and tear up my walls and spray chemicals along the floorboards to keep the mold at bay. One of those men who came to my house was Antonio's pastor. His name was Salvador. He impressed me greatly. His willingness to work, to get dirty, to haul away sopping wet junk, and not get paid a dime for it. This is how we can serve God, he told me. A year and a half ago, I thought about Salvador, and I thought about our available church space, and I started wondering about it all. For 6 months, I prayed. I listened. And then last summer, I texted him out of the blue, "Can I buy you lunch?" We met at Chipotle on Westheimer, and I had no agenda other than to sit with him, to thank him again for coming to my house, to learn his story, to hear about his congregation. I wanted to listen to God's Spirit. Though I should not have been surprised, he also wanted to hear about me. It's what pastors do, I guess. I walked away moved and overly thankful. During my sabbatical last September and October, much of what I did was dream, doodle, and pray about our future as a congregation, and Salvador and his congregation would not leave me alone. In later October, when I returned, I shared my thoughts with the shepherds of this congregation. "We have space," I said. "A wide-open fellowship hall that's hardly touched. I want to be better stewards of it than we are being right now. And we have a community around us that as much as I and we try to serve, language barriers can be a high hurdle to jump. What if we combine the two and invite a Spanish-speaking congregation to use it and to minister from it? They had lots of questions, of course, and they were very open to it. Let's see where it takes us, they said. So in November, Dee Pipes and I met with Salvador, and I asked him, would you consider moving your congregation to this part of town? We have room, and we have ministerial opportunities, plus I trust you. Salvador was quite surprised, and he teared up, and then he said, I've been telling our church for several weeks now that God has some changes in store for us, something new for us, but I had no idea what that could be. I would like to learn more. Salvador's congregation, about the size that we are, currently meets in a storefront near 59 and Willcrest, a decent space with a lease that ends in August, but it has never felt like a home to them, and it's hard to minister to neighbors when there's only businesses around them. He began talking with his leadership team, and this past December, I met with Salvador and his wife and their ministry assistant. We sat in the fellowship hall and dreamed and doodled and prayed of how they could possibly use the space given the chance. I said, we have space, we have need in our neighborhood, and I trust you. We walked through the offices. I took them across the street to the apartments. And the ministry assistant said about our building when they were leaving, she said, this is a place of peace. You can feel it. And as our sister Cynthia Bird used to tell me sometimes after some of my sermons, I about near fell out of my seat. Because I too believe that this is a place of peace and that we are a people of peace. In January, Brent, Larry, Dee, and I shared a meal around a table with Salvador and their leadership team. And we, you guessed it, we dreamed, we doodled, we prayed. I would share with them a rent price that would not break their bank nor make us rich. But it would cover all that needed to be covered while also assisting our budget. His leadership team fasted. They fasted for several days together. And I can tell you for certain that they are very excited about this possibility. Our own leadership has prayed and envisioned time and again what it might look like to share space with another congregation. And I can tell you for certain that we are very excited about this possibility for us, for them, and for our neighborhood. Nothing is set in stone yet, but this is a prospect that is currently before us. In it, we want to act wisely and also with courage. We want to listen to God's Spirit. We also want to give you time to ask questions to our shepherds, to myself. We will provide more details in the weeks and months to come about what a shared space arrangement come August could look like. It would definitely be an adjustment for us. Some things would have to change, including our ideas about ownership. And we would work with clear communication with you and with them to how it all could go. It would be an adjustment, yes, but also a tangible way for us to practice hospitality. To provide room for strangers to meet, to hopefully share meals with them, our sisters and brothers in Christ, and to practice what we preach. Who knows what God's Spirit may be up to in any of this? It may be something, it may be nothing. Who knows what may come? Who knows what strangers may cause our hearts to burn as they speak to us? Here's what I do know. As a people who follow Jesus as a church, Hospitality is our way of life. It is in our Christian DNA. It is an embodiment of our faith. And it anticipates God's full and resurrected embrace, a great feast with a great welcome. Now, who's hungry? I'm hungry. You're hungry. So let's eat together. And also together we can say or we can type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we sing in worship.
We gather. Like living.
The feast which comes at the fullness of all things in God, that is indeed what we wait for. This meal that we share together, this bit of bread, this bit of juice, we share in anticipation of that and with each other. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to pray bread and cup. If some of you would like to join me in sharing the bread and the cup with the congregation, you can do that. Just come forward after I pray and we'll do that together. Let's pray, please. We do indeed wait with anticipation for your fullness to come. In the meantime, and in our waiting, would you meet us here? For it's you that we continue to depend on and trust in. And in you, O God, we find our joy and our meaning, and we give you thanks for these. In the bread, we find meaning, which is the body of Christ, and in the cup, we find meaning too, which is his blood. We share these together now as the body of Christ, for it's through Christ that we pray. Amen. right. We have folks all over this building that we needed to feed, so that's a good problem to have. So thanks for waiting. We also have opportunity to give. You can give in these plates right here that Alex and Glenn are going to walk around with in a little bit. You can give an offering or a tithe contribution online, of course, or bring it to the office, and however you choose to give it and whatever you choose to give, thanks as always. Let's pray together, please. Thanks, God, again, for your continued gifts and giftedness to us, and help us to be good stewards with what's been given, and now we share with what we have. Thank you for Christ, who continues to dwell among us and teach us these things. It's because of him we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. We have the Thursday Bible class ongoing. It is 10:30 on Thursday morning, both in person and on Zoom, if you want to be a part of that. If you want to join via Zoom, King can connect you there. Wednesday night, there's several people meeting here in the lobby for a prayer gathering. That's at 7 p.m. Wednesday, if you have any questions about that or want to learn more. Mercy and Ruth and Jesse and Larry are your main connections there for that. We have Super Bowl of Caring today in actually just a few minutes. So I'm going to ask Cora and Lily, can you grab your two soup pots? One of you can stand in front of one table on the left and one on the right. We've been talking about this for the last month. Money that is given in these soup pots will go directly to Braze Interfaith Ministry, which is a ministry that the area congregations support, and everything goes to purchasing food for their food pantries from the Houston Food Bank. So as you are leaving here to go to your classes or whatever you're doing next, you can drop it either in Cora's or Lily's, and then Cora and Lily, y'all can just hold on to it, and I will come find you right afterwards, okay? So that is for that. We do have classes, indeed, after we dismiss from here all over this building. I hope that you can choose and one of these classes. Stick around for that so you can be a part of one of the smaller faith groups. Quick note, those of you who would typically go upstairs for the teen class, we're going to meet in the lobby instead so we can put together the arrangement for our forthcoming meal immediately after service. The plan for that is to, yes, come after your classes. We'll have everything arranged and set up, soups and chilies and stews and drinks and those sorts of things. And we will share that meal together. We'll have several tables that you can sit at and plenty of seating in there that you can choose to sit at. All right, because I know that folks will come in at different times into the lobby to share a meal, what I'd like to do today is our benediction as we finish this on hospitality. We're going to sing our prayer, we're going to sing our blessing over each other and for the meal that we will share in just about an hour or so. So would you stand, please? Let's sing this song, Doxology, and with the Amen at the end. Go forth in peace and purpose.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.